online, on television, on radio, and just absolutely clinical in front of goal. Thanks for this, iMac. How are you?
Once scored 12 goals in a youth soccer season, and I was mostly the goalie. So I had a great strike rate in those games where we were already up by five at halftime, and I came in to play up front in the second half. I had a great knack of scoring.
So your goals per minutes ratio was pretty high.
It was pretty high, but the funny thing is, when I got tired of playing goal and moved into the field, mostly as a midfielder, but as I've gotten older, I'm now a defender. It's funny, these over 50 leagues, it's like you have 15 defenders and one forward because, you know, nobody wants to run. But when I stopped being a goalie, I also stopped scoring. So go figure.
Now all I can imagine, iMac, is you like Rene Higuita doing a scorpion kick in goal.
Well, you don't see many 6'4", and I'm going to say in my prime, maybe 165-pound midfielders, but... Yeah, it was. I'm probably a little awkward. Not the most fluid player.
Well,
I admit it. I'd fit in perfectly with the Scottish national team.
Just be absolutely fantastic. Well, I mean, you know, transitioning that to fitting in, I mean, the Sedin twins were introduced today as special advisors to general manager Jim Benning. How significant do you think this is?
I think it's really important for the organization on a number of levels. I think it's important, first of all, just to have more voices. I think they've missed Trevor Linden's messaging, both externally and internally, his ability to pull together different departments, and the fact that it was often a differing opinion. That's not a bad thing, although it turns out it wasn't such a good thing for Linden and the Aquilinis that they differed. But you need more than one or two opinions in when you're making big decisions. So I think the Sedins are going to help that way. Obviously, they bring an instant boost of credibility and integrity at the end of a season that was, you know, so bad as to damage the brand a little bit. We'll have to wait for fans to get back to see how much damage was done, but the Sedins will help that way. But I also think it's really valuable to have these guys in the organization as mentors. And yeah, they were around now and then after they retired to talk to guys or sit in Travis Green's office. But to have them there every day, to have them as a resource for these young players that we talk about so often, and to be able to tell them and have the moral authority to do so based on their careers, tell them what worked for the Sedins. You know, they're not overbearing guys. They're not going to tell Elias Pettersson how he should play. But for the guys who want to learn and are open to some opinion and advice from two of the greatest players, well, the two greatest players the franchise has produced, I think it's a really valuable thing. And then beyond that, you know, who knows where their management career will take them? Maybe it takes them nowhere. Maybe 2 years from now they're not in the organization. If they haven't enjoyed it, if they find it can't replace that passion that you always miss when you stop playing, maybe there's regime change and they're not part of the next regime. Who knows? Who knows where it's going to go? But it's really important, just with players, that you always have players on their way up in an organization. You need really smart, youngish guys who know the game to be learning always in your management system and have a chance to push up and find bigger roles down the road.
Well, Ian, we also kind of heard both of them mention culture numerous times. And, you know, anybody, you've covered this team for a very long time. Even up until this year, Bo Horvat was referencing the culture that the Sedins set. You know, what kind of impact do you think they'll have off the ice and setting a culture now where it seems like maybe the front office needs a bit of a culture change as well?
Yeah, well, it's always hard to say what the culture is in the front office because we don't get to see that. And there isn't the... 82 games a year referendum on culture, on management that there is for players. So that is going to be harder to gauge. It's also tricky, and, you know, I just filed a story for Sportsnet.ca where I talked about the culture and what they're going to bring. But it is tricky when you're talking about culture of a team and you're involving guys who no longer play. Because once you're removed from actually playing, it's harder. It's harder to impact culture. But I think with the Sedins, because of who they are, because of the careers they had, and as Benning noted today, because it wasn't that long ago that they were still in that dressing room as players, I think they can still have a lot of impact on the culture. I've said before that I think the biggest mistake that Benning and the organization made in letting the players leave in free agency like they did last fall was underestimating the impact of that on their culture, on their leadership. And in that respect, I think the Sedins coming back, they come back at a very good time to help in that respect. But it will be interesting to see, and I don't know that we'll ever fully know, but to see what impact they have now that they're not playing on the players who still are playing.
As they said today, you know, they're coming in and they're basically rookies, so a lot of learning for them to do. But does it make for a little bit of an awkward environment, you know, knowing that the ideal scenario is that they graduate to the roles that, you know, others are currently in?
Yeah, I think it would be, honestly, I think it would be more awkward if they were thrust into those roles already. And, you know, if you think about, say, what Trevor Linden had to adjust to and transition to when he was hired as president, having a ton of experience in the game, and not just as a player, but the Players Association, involvement with the league, rules, all that. But in terms of actual day-to-day NHL management, he had no experience, and he had to come in as president and figure it all out on the fly. And, of course, Benning was a big part of that. Benning was his first hire. I think it's way, way harder to do that than to do what the Sedins are trying to do now, which is basically come in, learn, have some influence right away, have some impact right away, but have that influence and impact grow as they grow as managers. And, you know, it is the key to all this, and I think this was a point of the question, Randeep, is what influence will they be allowed to have, and how will they be received by the guys who are already there? In that respect, I think it's important to note that the discussions on bringing them back, my understanding is it was almost entirely discussions between Jim Benning and the Sedins. This wasn't the owner trying to convince him to come back as a PR ploy, although no doubt there's a marketing benefit to having them back. But the discussions that have gone on for months were between Benning and the Twins. And Benning said today he's open-minded. I think we have to accept him on face value at that. But Benning wouldn't have brought them in because these are high-profile guys. Much as the Sedins said, they just want to kind of, you know, learn the job and stay in the background. They're two of the highest profile figures in franchise history. Benning wouldn't have brought them in unless he was willing to take their counsel. That doesn't mean do what they say. And I don't think the Sedins will tell Benning how to make trades any more than they're going to tell, Elias Pettersson how he should play. But I think that there seems to be a genuine willingness on behalf of management to involve these guys in the inner circle and seek their counsel and just their observations. And you know, if that doesn't happen, then this is all a waste of everyone's time. You know, they're not here to be ceremonial figureheads. They're not here to be token hires. They're not here to be, in the Sedins' mind, they're certainly not here to be a PR ploy. They're here to learn and have influence and impact on hockey operations, and I think they will. But all of that is predicated on the willingness of Benning and the people who are already there to accept them and invite their opinion and to absorb it and sometimes act on it. And I think that will happen. I hope that will happen. Otherwise, as I say, this is a waste of both sides' time.
When Henrik joined us just earlier on the show, he said there's a commitment from ownership on down. And what do you think that says about this organization's ambition and what they need to do to kind of get this market excited, get these players kind of believing in this? What do you think this says? If ownership on down, there's a real commitment here to doing the right thing with this team. What does this say about this offseason?
Yeah, you have to have, as we've seen innumerable times in pro sports, you have to have a cohesiveness from top to bottom. And it doesn't work if there isn't. And that's one of the great things, that even though Trevor Linden, it was really disappointing and I'm sure infuriating in some senses to leave. It was great that he recognized that there was no longer that synergy from top to bottom. You have to have that. So, you know, what level of commitment the Aquilinis have, well, they've had Jim Benning as their GM for 7 years. And there'd be a lot of people who would suggest that that's been too long. But the fact that Jim is still here and the Aquilinis still support him seems to tell you that there is a commonality in how they're approaching this and what they want to see transpire. And obviously the ownership would have to be on board with the Sedins coming back. And I just said a minute ago how Jim wouldn't have brought them in if he weren't willing to listen to their counsel and seek their opinion on things. So I think it's important, but you know, that alone, that doesn't win you anything. You still have to make the right decisions. You still have to do the job properly. But I'd say you have very little chance of finding that success if you don't have cohesion from top to bottom in what the organization is trying to achieve. But just because you have that uniformity in thinking doesn't mean that you execute it. And we all know that the Canucks have to execute the plan better than they have.
I'm Mac. Appreciate the time as always. We'll talk soon.
All right. See you guys.